Welcome back to Disclaimers Aside, a bi-weekly podcast where I share the raw and honest stories of people in my community, Disclaimers Aside. I'm your host, Aisara Amadou, and let's dive into today's episode. Hi everyone, welcome back to another podcast episode. So this week's podcast episode is actually part two to an episode that aired a couple weeks ago behind the brand Pashmom Designs. So if you haven't listened to part one, you guys should go give it a listen. I'll have it as the first link in the description box, but we're just going to be jumping in right where we left off in the conversation. Before we delve further into today's episode, I do want to bring to your guys' attention what is happening in Sudan.
A long-standing power struggle between Sudan's army and powerful paramilitary group, the Rapid Support Forces, has finally come to a head. Sudan's army and the Rapid Support Forces are both headed up by former allies of longtime military dictator Omar al-Bashir. And the two sides came together in 2019 to oust him in a coup after pro-democracy protests shook the country. Now their partnership has come to an explosive end. Heavy gunfire and blasts erupted across the capital as clashes for control began. The confrontation started at the military bases in southern Khartoum and spread to the presidential palace and the country's airport. Civilians cowered on the terminal floor, and at least one passenger plane was hit with stray gunfire. The Air Force confirmed it was conducting operations against the Rapid Support Forces. Both sides have been accused of committing atrocities against unarmed protesters in the past, and civilians are caught in the crossfire once again. Casualties are pouring into hospitals and residents are unable to leave as the airport remains under siege. And people's worst fears of an all-out civil war breaking out are closer than ever before.
A vicious power struggle is taking place in Sudan. Fighting has left key parts of the capital Khartoum in ruins. Two generals are at the center of this dispute. General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan is the head of the armed forces and, in effect, Sudan's president. General Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, better known as Hemeti, is his deputy. He leads a paramilitary group called the Rapid Support Forces, or the RSF. The two generals disagree about how the country should be run and about plans to include the RSF, which has been widely accused of human rights abuses, in Sudan's regular army. This latest fighting was sparked after RSF forces were deployed around the country. The army saw that as a threat. There have been political tensions in Sudan since long-serving President Omar al-Bashir was ousted in 2019. A joint military-civilian government was set up, but that was overthrown in another coup in October 2021. Since then, the rivalry between General Burhan and General Dagalo has intensified. Now there are fears that the fighting could further fragment the country and draw in neighboring states.
Hundreds of people are dying in Sudan right now, and it is barely being covered. For the past 3 days, rival generals have been battling for control of Sudan, leaving millions of residents hiding in their homes while doctors and hospitals struggle to cope with the mounting casualties. In the capital, the fighting has left many of the 5 million residents stranded at home without electricity or water as they are marked for the last few days of Ramadan. As of right now, multiple of the medical facilities are being targeted, including a major medical center northeast of the capital that was shelled, evacuated, and now shut down. It is still not clear who, if anyone, is in control of the country. The clashes have pitted a paramilitary group known as the Rapid Support Forces against the Sudanese army. This has been a long-standing rivalry between Sudan's top two generals who have been vying for dominance. Before the fight broke out this weekend, there has been a massive humanitarian crisis, where one-third of its 45 million people were in need of food aid even before the conflict began.
Sudan is going through a crisis right now. Make sure to use your voice and your platform to amplify and learn more about what's happening in Sudan. I'm gonna have some resources linked in the description box for you guys to check out, some relief funds, different Sudanese creative artists where the proceeds are going completely to Sudan, and just ways that you can support the movement. And just make sure to stay informed, use your voice to amplify what's going on, and keep Sudan in your du'as, inshallah. So with that, let's just go ahead and dive back into the conversation.
So
So can you walk me through the timeline of how things fell into place after you guys initially decided this was something you wanted to do? How quickly did things happen? I know you guys were working over the summer.
Yeah.
What was that like?
So we had the idea finals week. It's the most convenient time to have an idea.
Of course, finals week.
I wanted nothing more than to work on it, but I had to like do my final stuff. But yeah, so we had it right before summer. And then Medica went to Iran that summer.
Yeah. Okay. And I tried to take so many photos as possible while I was there.
We were separated. But there wasn't, like, in terms of getting it going and starting the design process and all those things that we need to be, like, in the same room to talk about and to move around and, like, get opinions on. And also there was a time difference between us and, like, the internet was weird sometimes. So it was really hard to get it going. So we basically didn't do anything to start the brand.
We both tried to do things on our own, like, trying to figure out how to, like, what the logo should look like or logo. Like, that part, it just took forever.
Yeah.
And then when we first...
I know I was on Pinterest a lot that summer, just, like, getting ideas.
Yeah.
And planning. So a lot of it was, like, an entire summer of just planning.
And then I made this, like, one logo that... We're like,
it's not the
scraps now.
It's not the current logo, right?
No, it's not. It's not the current logo.
I don't know how many, we have like 10 different versions of this logo.
Yeah.
We've been through. It took a lot. Like, yeah, it was that part, like the name itself, no planning, nothing, no modifications.
Yeah.
Everything after that, 100 times we've changed it around.
Yeah.
To get it exactly how we want it.
It was just, it kept changing. Until I came back from Iran and me and Sophia met up.
Yeah.
And things started rolling quick.
Oh, yeah. So as soon as Medica touched American soil, like, as soon as her feet hit the ground, she hit the ground running. We only met up twice because we both were going back to school. I transferred from UCSC, so we weren't going to be going to the same school anymore. Dude, imagine how much progress we would have had done if we were, like, living in the same place.
Literally.
Yeah.
Like, it would have
gone a lot
started
faster.
This sooner.
Yeah.
Because you guys had a whole year together.
Yeah, we did.
That was just building the friendship. Anyway, we were like, okay, we need to, like, hang out and make it count and, like, you know, not only just catch up, but we actually have to get our business in line. So the first time we hung out, what did we get done?
The logo.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I came to your house and we just spent, like, hours working on this logo. But at the same time, like, for example, while I was playing with something, making the logo, she was getting an email for us, getting a website, and all that stuff.
Like, signing up to Shopify. And
yeah, she did all, like, the practical stuff and the logistical stuff. And then I was, like, working on logo, showing her. She was showing me stuff, all that. So we got a lot accomplished our first meeting. And then we had another meeting after that where we're like, okay, now we actually need a design for our first drop.
Yeah.
And, that's one thing I was doing over the summer was, like, playing around with different design, like, potential designs. But we never had one because I needed her here to, like...
Yeah. Oh, and I remember, like, you sent me, like, ideas that you had made. And then once you sent that, I was like, I have an idea, like...
Yeah.
Like, a vision. And then I tried to show it to you. I remember the second time we met, I tried to show it to you. And you're like, yeah. And that's, how it came alive.
Didn't I send you the Genghis Umbalas thing, like...
Yeah, you
before
sent
we met up.
Yeah, you sent the Genghis Umbalas, like, for a separate thing. And then you sent the Qajar ladies.
When we're not together, we always, like, send each other ideas and inspo.
And that
like
would
that.
Build up to, like, when we would
meet up
together
to
in person. Though we would take all of that and just bring out a finalized product.
And in a way, I feel like if we were working, or if we were living in the same city and we could see each other every day if we wanted to, I feel like our meetings wouldn't have been as productive, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We would just be like researching and googling stuff that we can do on our own, or like, you know, when we're trying to kill some time or something. But then when we would hang out, we would actually get things accomplished.
Yeah, especially since we were like an hour apart.
We made the design the second time we met up, and we literally had a prototype of the sweatshirt. Okay.
Yeah.
And then after that, we were like, okay, we need to send it to our friends and get input,
feedback,
right? Because maybe this looks hideous and we're just getting
tired. And like, for context, the design in the front, it has our logo
because it's our first drop. Like, in the future, we want our other designs to be more like meaningful, symbolic, funny, including humor, including more culture in it.
Yeah,
like, it
more poetry
even,
too.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to say our logo.
Yeah,
but it's our first drop, like, it should have our logo.
Yeah,
right?
So the front would have our logo, and even if it's like just our logo. Our logo also has a lot of meaning, too. So,
yeah, our name itself, because it's literally just Pashmom in Farsi, and then it has it in English. Yeah.
Also, I don't know about you guys, but, like, when I'm buying a sweatshirt, I like it to be more minimalist on the front and, like, a cool design on the back.
Yeah.
Because then I feel like you can wear it more often, and it's not, like...
Yeah. That's actually debatable, because when we were getting feedback from our friends...
Other people said different.
Some people... Yeah, they were like, oh, it's better to have it more of a design.
Yeah, they wanted more stuff on the front.
And then just empty on the back. So you could put that as a poll.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a... That would be a good poll.
Yeah, that's a good one. I feel like the trend recently has been, like, crazier designs on the back and more minimal.
Because it's easier to, like, match when it's more minimal in the front.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it's easier to match.
But I guess it's debatable.
Some people want more, like, more goods. In the front, I guess. I don't know how else it...
Yeah, they want to make a splash.
Yeah, seriously, they want to be the statement. The
front is our logo, which is Pashmom. And then the back, there's Godjar ladies.
Yeah. Please give us, like, the context of what that is, what that means.
Yes. We're going to explain this all on our social media, like, once we drop everything. And I think this episode is going to come out, like, after we drop everything. It's definitely a conversation starter for someone who isn't a part of the culture. Because a lot of people in our culture are, like... Again, they're still stuck in old school culture and traditions or just whatever. It's not their choice at all, but it's just whatever their parents taught them, and their parents fled Iran in the 90s, 80s, because that's when the revolution happened, 1979. So that's the culture that they're teaching their kids, you know, and there's kind of a disconnect that we've noticed between the diaspora versus like the culture booming, the pop culture booming in Iran right now. It's so different. And that's why we bond, because we both are connected to that culture, too.
Yeah.
I had to, like, push myself to learn and, like, watch videos and vlogs and listen to music and rap.
I also think it really helped having the friends in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, because a lot of them are, like, our age, but they were spent most of their lives in Iran.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, they came, like, when they were, like, 15 or 16. So, like, they obviously know a lot more culture, like, in terms of modern culture in Iran or youth culture. So a lot of that I learned from them, and I'm still learning, honestly.
There's endless, like, phrases and, like, meanings that we have no idea, because we're not there to
No, it's definitely easier, I think, to learn about your culture when you're surrounded by people that are, like, actually from there.
Yeah.
100%. But yeah, we wanted our design to, like, merge the old and the new, and, like, just be a conversation starter, looking aesthetically pleasing too.
Yeah.
For the people who, like, don't understand it. And then, I don't know, like, just to dive a little bit deeper than, like, what we've been seeing already in the fashion industry. So basically, the women on the back, they're from the Qajar dynasty in Iran, which was, like, 1796 all the way through 1925. And they have very distinct features, these women. If you had more, like, fat on you, like, if you were a little bit bigger, that was, like, looked highly upon versus, like, if you were
skinny. It was more of the beauty standard.
Yeah, this beauty standard was to be a little more plus size. And they also praised natural features like facial hair, unibrows, hair on your upper lip. They embraced all of that. And there, because, like, this was relatively recent, there's pictures of these women. And, I don't know, they just look badass.
They look iconic. Like, truly...
They're literally iconic, and they just embrace their femininity.
It just shows the confidence.
Their energy.
Their energy.
Confident energy.
It's real with that photo. 100%. And, like, it makes me want to be them. Growing up, we were forced with the Western beauty standard, and then...
To be,
like,
ashamed of, and now out here, like...
Embracing it. Yeah, they're, like, loving their features while, like, growing up. I was like, I hate the hair, you know? And, like, they're loving the hair. And I'm like, I want to be loving the hair, too.
So then, okay, we have that. And they just, like, I don't know, look really sick, okay? And we're like, okay, we should have them, right? And then there's this phrase. It's actually from a song that we like by Bezileto,
yeah.
My crush. He's this Persian rapper. There's a song called Gengeshun Balas. And there's, like, a phrase that people use, like, in dialogue called Gengeshun Balas, Gang Balas.
Yeah.
Which means, like, your gang has a lot of street cred.
Like, the gang is really cool, or, you have, like, you have hella street cred. And it's, like, a new slang term in, like, Gen Z. Mm-hmm. Or, as you said, like, Iranian rappers use. Mm-hmm. And it's just, in the design, we're trying to say, like, these Qajar ladies are slang.
Yeah, literally. Because we have
so
the
it's like
surrounding
it. Yeah, like, connecting the old and the new. It's like a fusion, almost. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love
and
that.
And it's crazy because the phrase is so applicable to their expressions or, like, just Qajar women in general, or Iranian women in general. Like, it's just, our gang is high. Like,
yeah.
Like, it literally translates to, like, the gang is high.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Like, balas means, like, high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it just means, like, they're really cool, or street cred.
Yeah.
All that stuff. And then also there's the song. Which I love the song.
And it's like aesthetic too.
Yeah.
You gotta shred the song on the Instagram.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, yeah. I feel like we've already done it.
Doesn't like
right?
copyright us. No, I don't think we don't have a post yet.
No, it's like there was a post where it says like, oh, like Iranian music that you like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because now when you post something on Instagram, you can like add music to it. Oh. So when you guys post the pictures, like.
We also have a TikTok. Guys, follow
I saw that! I was so happy!
So, yeah, there's definitely... Music is a huge part of, I don't know, how Medica and I bond, how we are with our friends.
Yeah.
When we dance at our parties, in our culture. Like, it's just a huge thing. And another thing is, not to speak badly about, like, our generation here, like, diaspora.
No, just do it. Disclaimers aside.
Dude, disclaimers aside, like, their music is stuck in the past.
Temptation?
Yeah, like, and Sosimankan, like gentlemen, like stuff that their parents like, you know what I'm saying? And the Iranian artists that are like young, coming out with brand new music, fresh, more modern music, like it doesn't really have, I mean, some of them do incorporate like traditional Iranian saws, like instruments with the rap, and it's so cool. And they're not getting any representation like in our circles, like social circles, besides our friend group.
Yeah, our friend group, we're really into it.
We love.
Yeah.
Because also they're like, most of them are
they recently
from Iran,
moved
like,
here.
Recently
yeah.
moved here.
Yeah.
So there's
so
also
they're missing
that
out.
Gap. Yeah, they are missing out. But like, we hope Pashmon will help introduce.
Yes. Yeah, introduce this music.
The public,
like other people's to enjoy as well.
Yeah, and really get these artists more credit. Like, you know,
Shervin Hajipour, his music is fire.
Yeah,
it's my favorite.
Yeah, so good.
So good.
He like his my oh I literally liked like all his songs like
oh yeah
this,
his voice
Spotify.
His voice is beautiful.
We were comparing like his voice and the way he sings is like the
Conan
male
Gray.
Version of Ariana Grande.
Oh yeah, I was saying also Conan Gray, but like
or like Mariah Carey, but the male
it's
Iranian
just, like,
man.
Yeah,
the pitch like
so good.
It's so, so melodic good. And
yeah,
yeah
I
incredible.
Love it.
But anyway, yeah, we're just trying to like. Create more of a community, creating connections between the old and new in our design. So we had this idea, and then we showed it to our friends.
Yeah.
The Americans, like the people who aren't Iranian at all, like don't have any exposure to the culture, said aesthetically it looked cool.
Yeah. Also, the front was different. The first like draft of the design we had.
That's one advice I'm gonna give is like show your friends.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes people are scared of like other people like stealing their ideas and whatnot, but I think you should show at least your close circle of friends because you're spending a lot of money, you're investing a lot of money. The last thing you want is for it to come out and people to be like, ooh.
And show people who will be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we have this one friend, and he popped off. He did
with
not.
Hate. He was a hater, and we needed to hear that.
Yeah, we needed
he
to
really
hear that.
He really said disclaimers aside.
Like, yeah. No, if he was here right now, he would roast us.
He's still a hater?
No. More supporter, but like
yeah, he's supportive.
Yeah, very
more,
supportive.
More so than our first design. He wanted nothing to do with us. He was so disappointed.
Does he follow Pashmon?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I honestly really don't know.
I don't know. Taha, if you're listening to this,
give it a
which
follow.
You probably aren't.
Taha, follow us.
Follow us right now.
But yeah, he was very honest, which and like I honestly think his.
Commentary.
Yeah, his comments, his feedback, he gave a hella feedback, which, like, honestly really appreciate.
He's real for that. Some people can just be like, oh, yeah, it's cute.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
And, like, he said, like, oh, the front looks like Hypebeast and stuff, and, like,
read it, bro. We have, literally, we wrote out what he said.
Yeah, he said colors too similar, but, like, I think the picture we shared, it didn't differentiate colors that much.
Also, you don't want the colors to clash too much.
Yeah.
You know, like, red, blue, yellow, green, like.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, he quote-unquote says, my first reaction was, this looks like something a 2018 Hypebeast would wear. Like, it legit looks like one of those hoodies where you can tell if
like
it was made by H&M or Gucci and not in a good way.
Why do I know exactly what he's talking about? Like,
yeah. Exactly. Because it did look like that, but
I can see where he's coming from.
Yeah.
With that.
And I'm so happy we changed the front now. and, oh, also, I don't think it does much to differentiate itself.
She's reading his thing.
Yeah, because it's like quote-unquote what he said. Like, we copy-pasted it, man. I don't think it does much to differentiate itself from other pieces being offered by different companies, big or small. Sure, it's very Iranian, but that has a small appeal opposed to it being, for example, Japanese, given Iran's lack of influence or Western culture at the present moment. That being said, I'm sure this is one of the few pieces being offered, and showing that over time the brand will find its own unique voice style, so feel free to disregard this comment.
I wanted our hoodies to be, like, dark red, like, deep red color, maroon, which we disregarded, because that's not our
aesthetic. I don't like maroon, I'm sorry. Yeah. Also, maroon that's too close to Naeem. That's like,
oh yeah, our friend's brand also, Ziad has a maroon sweatshirt.
Oh, I think another really good thing he pointed out was like, this was like the first, for the first design, right? I think the front is too large. I don't know, I personally don't like the idea of it being a huge billboard for a brand. So the first thing, it was like just like Pash Mom in English.
It was across the chest.
Yeah.
Across your boobs, it's like Pash Mom.
Yeah.
You know? It was too tacky.
Yeah, it was too tacky. And then he even said like, I think if a piece of clothing is good, then I'll search for it online. I don't need it shouting what it is to be. Mm-hmm. And like, that was just like a really good thing, like he pointed out. And like, thank God we changed the front. But
he helped us a lot, because I had never even thought about that before, because I think it looked good what we had, but the deeper meaning and like, you know, everything has to be with purpose. Mm-hmm. And we kind of just thoughtlessly put it there because it looked good, but it has to have a purpose to it.
Yeah,
I love that you guys listed like all of his comments.
Yeah, we wrote it out as soon as I knew we were gonna be on this podcast, and then I was reading the questions where you're like, oh, tell us about the storyline of like how Pash Mom came to where it is now. Taha and the comments. Revolutionary.
Yes. Yeah. Because like other people, they would just like give like two sentences or something, but like he really went into explanation. Like, and if he did it, then like we wouldn't understand like the his point of view of what he meant.
You always need a friend like that in your life.
We'll be honest.
Yeah.
And then one other thing was we showed like all different types of people. Like, my cousin, she was in Canada with her friends, and all of her friends moved to Canada when they were like in high school, or like after they graduated high school, and they're in college right now
from Iran.
Yeah, from Iran, like they're all Iranian, right? And they understood it automatically and they loved it, and they, I don't know, I feel like their taste is more like flashy, and they liked
millennial.
It across the chest.
Oh.
Passion across the chest. But yeah, they got it, and then as long as they understand the joke, and it was like we did our job right, like we executed it right.
Yeah.
And then my sister, she showed, and I even showed you guys, like my friend group who they're not Iranian, and my sister showed her friends who aren't Iranian, and they said like, no idea what it means, but it looks good.
And I remember I showed it to one of my friends, and definitely do a poll. And she's like, oh, I'd want more in the front, basically.
Busier in the front.
I didn't know this was a controversy. I thought this was a given.
Yeah, no, I didn't know until, like...
Because at the same time, I understand that when you buy a piece, like, you're buying it for not only, like, the quality and everything like that and its practicality, but, like, the design, and it's more likely someone's going to see it if you're wearing it in the front.
Front, yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
So, I think I'm just
for spending
triggered.
Spending all this money, might as well show.
Yeah, I think I'm just triggered from, like, those, like, high school and middle school, like, sweatshirts where they'd have so much design on the front.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think that's what it just brings me to.
But I think more graphic tees, like, it's more appropriate to have stuff on the front.
Yeah,
than
a sweatshirt.
But a sweatshirt, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So then we made a mock-up and, like, tried to look for manufacturers.
And a mock-up is, like, a blueprint.
That was, like, around September. Mm-hmm. And that's when, like, school started, and, yeah, honestly, it was so hard.
Yeah, especially with school starting.
Yeah. I think the design process, like, we literally cranked out a design in one sitting. We went to Montage Hotel, or Montage Beach in Laguna Beach, and, like, cranked out that design and got all the feedback. Like, that was the easy part.
Yeah. Designing. The manufacturing, bro.
It's still a difficult journey.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not relieved yet, just yet, but, like, that stuff has been so difficult. I'm not complaining, though, because, in general, the process of it has been fun for me. I don't know about for you.
I've just been, like, stressed.
As of recently.
Yeah, as of recently, just stressed, but, like, overall, the whole process has just been exciting.
Yeah.
Like, more exciting than stressful, but today...
Risky, too.
Today, it's been very stressful.
Today was a bad... But, you know, you have good days and bad days.
Yeah.
And overall, like, it's been fun, especially because I have so much respect for people working alone and doing a business by themselves.
Yeah.
But it's not only fun because, like, Medica's here, but I also need her, like, as an emotional
support. Yeah, no. Honestly, I'm thinking, who would, like, I'm like... I can't do social media. I'm sorry. But it would be so hard.
Yeah, like she's made some graphics for ISU, and I'm like,
no.
One time, I made a graphic.
People have different strengths, honestly.
Yeah, that's true.
I was like sick or something, so I used to do all the graphics for the Instagram for ISU when I was there, right?
Yeah.
I got like really sick one time.
No, I think your computer.
Oh yeah, I broke my computer.
Yeah.
My water bottle broke my computer, right?
And then your phone also broke.
Yeah, I dropped it in the toilet.
Yeah.
There was just a lot going on.
Someone gave me the evil eye. And I got a really bad haircut, so I was going through that.
Yeah. Never forget.
But anyway, I was not in the right space
yeah.
to make graphics, right?
Yeah, and then they needed someone to make graphic, and I was like, oh, I'll just do it. And then I made it, and then it was posted on Instagram, and then Sophia...
I didn't know who made it. I just saw it.
Yeah, Sophia didn't know who made it. Because she didn't have, like, a phone to text, like, the group... check the group chat.
All I had was my iPad, and my iPad is from 2015, 2016, and it's really slow.
And, like, no iMessage either, right?
It has iMessage, but it's, like, I don't know. I just wouldn't check it, you know?
Yeah, like, I just know you wouldn't receive, like, the messages for, like, our group chat, so then...
I don't remember why, but it was with my email.
I think it was because it was shared with your phone number and not your email. Sophia DM'd me on Instagram saying, who made this? This is so ugly! She went full off roasting it, and I found it to be the most funniest thing ever, because she had no idea that I made it.
The sad thing is... If I had known she made it too, I would have still called it ugly.
No, that's a good friend. That's a good friend.
I want you to tell me. Like, I would rather hear that.
Yes.
And I honestly find it really hilarious. We were trying to make stickers too, and you're like, this looks like whitewashed.
Like, it looks like some of the stuff she made, like, it looked like it should have been sold on Redbubble by someone named Emily.
Like, yeah, I think it's more like I need, like, a base.
Wait, is it the stickers you showed, the designs you showed me?
No. We didn't go with the whitewashed one.
Yeah,
We made a lot of prototypes before.
Yeah.
It's a process.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's more so, like, I need, like, inspiration before I can make something, and then it'll be good. Like, the Genghis Umbalas, it was essentially Sophia's idea.
But she made it possible.
But I just, like, combined two of Sophia's idea into one, and it, like, looked really good. It's just basically, like, we just go back and forth.
We were looking for manufacturers, and that was really difficult because...
We didn't want to get scammed.
You don't want to get scammed. It's so expensive. You don't know who's legit, who's using other people's photos in their, like, Instagram or website or whatever. And also, like, even Ziad in your podcast, he was like, oh, I recommend, like, going to multiple manufacturers and getting a sample from multiple, having them all sent to you, and then pick which sample you like the most. We didn't know. It was, like, $200 for one sample.
Yeah, who some of them the even, money? Like,
I was shocked when I heard it. Truly, I was like, $200 for one sweatshirt?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Because think about it. They're making a custom stencil. They're making a custom thing, like, to do the print and everything. Like, it's, and then we also send in, like, custom dimensions. Everything just for one, and for it to not, there's a high probability that we'll go with someone else. So they want to get paid for their labor. Like, I completely understand that. But from us, from our side of the story, it's too expensive to have, like, five
options. You guys are college students, too, keep in mind.
Yeah, so. Like, obviously I would have loved to do that, but we had to put all of our eggs in one basket. We took a big risk, so finally we found one, but it's ethical. Like, there are no children, like, you know, making
child
the
labor.
No child labor. It's not she.
Oh, that's another thing that I think he touched on in his episode, but I think a lot of people are hesitant to buy from companies where they're manufactured from places like China. But I guess people don't really realize that, like, it's hard to get, to find manufacturers, good manufacturers, and they're expensive in the US or other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another risk too, like, let's say the quality is amazing from what we see, like, we follow ours on Instagram and he posts videos of, like, the factory and everything, and it looks clean. I don't see any rats running around. Like, I don't know. Like, it just looks like a good, like, working environment and stuff. But what if, like, the smell is bad? Because Ziad was saying, like, he got a sample and it smelled terrible.
Like, smoke. Yeah.
So, like,
that was really, also another risk.
That was a big risk. We had no idea.
Yeah.
So I feel like in those cases, like, it's better to go with manufacturers that other people have used, or that you've bought things, like, products from that same manufacturer.
Yeah, I kind of was doing that. Like, I was looking at brands that I have and trying to find their manufacturer, but people, they gatekeep it so much that I couldn't find.
Yeah.
I find that interesting that they gatekeep it. I wonder why.
I think because people can, like, buy the product straight from the manufacturer and then, like,
and make their own.
Make their own, yeah. Stuff like that. I don't know.
I mean, that's more, I think that's more so, like, if the manufacturer sells, like, standard.
Yeah.
Because, like, ours, it's more so, like, they made from scratch. Like, we tell them the dimensions and stuff. Yeah, but, like, you're right. Other ones, it's just straight standard measurements.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was one... Like a
Hanes crew neck or something.
Yeah, like, there was one... like, we contacted multiple manufacturers, and then I remember one of them, they had a website, and they basically had, like, standard... How it would work would be, like, they had... The website showed standard sizes and standard, like, hoodies, and it would say, like, the measurements and stuff. It's not, like, where you tell them what measurements you want. Mm-hmm. They just say, choose which one of these you want. Which
color.
And which fabric, color. Yeah, which... Not even the fabric. The fabric is standard, too. You just choose the standard, and they'll put the design on it.
Mm. Yeah. And we knew, like, even though we're new to this and everything, like, I'm a shopper, right? So I know what I like in a sweatshirt. I know, like, the GSM, like, I want a very heavyweight sweatshirt. We want something that's, like, wider around the torso so we have, like, room to breathe. And, you know, you're not suffocated by your sweatshirt. Your sweatshirt isn't eating you. Like, we wanted, like, wider arm space too, bigger hood. We didn't want drawstrings. Like, there were very specific things that we wanted in our sweatshirt that, like, the ones that I was seeing, a lot of them, I was like, no, we can't. Even though they were cheaper, like, I'd rather just make it custom completely.
Yeah.
From scratch. But little did I know that when they mean custom down to every last detail. We had to tell them what to do.
That measurements for a hood? So a complicated.
I don't even the architecture of it. Like, I don't know. I don't study fashion. All that stuff, like, we had to basically figure out, and I loved that process.
Yeah, that honestly, the amount of times this girl asked for my measuring tape in our dorm, it was just funny. I don't
own measuring tape. It was all her.
Thank you for your contribution.
She really did.
But it was a lot of back and forth because she would always ask for it.
Yeah, it was a lot of back and forth. Found our manufacturer after, like, talking to a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one, it was like, we honestly, they had the best reviews and, like, the quality looked good. And then the price was also in our budget.
And they seemed, like, reputable, too.
Yeah, like, they were being responsive. We're like, okay. Like, this is the one.
We're gonna go full send.
Yeah. We'll give them the nickname Mark. So then we full sent, and after we sent our mock-ups, it's just, like, the blueprint we made, we realized that we didn't put, like, all of the dimensions of a hoodie. Like, I just thought, okay, standard dimension of a hoodie is the height, the width, the shoulders, the arm length. No, there's so much more. So it took a long process of him asking, like, okay, what do you want this measurement to be? What do you want that measurement to be? What do you want the logo measurement to be? We didn't even have that stuff.
And also, it ended up making the whole process even longer. Because this was our first time.
Whereas,
and at this point, you guys are going to different schools. It's not like you guys are in person to meet up.
Yeah, and then I'd be scared to say, like, this measurement. Because I was like, I want to double check with Sophia.
Yeah,
like,
we had to confirm with each other before responding to him when he's, like, asking for a definitive answer. Like, if
and
I was
he's based in China, so.
And even, like, when once we finalized everything and then got the sample, I was the first person. It was sent to Santa Cruz, and then at the time, Sophia was in Berkeley. And so we got the design, and I was, like, freaking out because I was like, is this good?
Yeah.
I was like, I need Sophia to look at it in person, too. Because, like, we were looking at the Gajar ladies, and I was in on picture, it looked great, but in person, it was different than what it was in picture. And I was like, I need Sophia to also look at this. Like, I want to make sure we both are on the same page.
Yeah.
So that also made me freak out. I was like...
No, luckily we met up.
Yeah, luckily
we did. The sad thing is, like, there's only one sample. So we've had to, like, exchange it among ourselves. Like, one thing that we really wanted was it to be, like, unisex. So I want it to be flattering on a guy and then also a girl or they, them. But yeah, so we, like, had a lot of different people try it on, give us good reviews. Or even bad reviews, too.
Yeah, I remember every time I gave it to someone, I was like, criticize it. Criticize.
Because you want to make all the alterations now before you, like, mass produce.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's when we got a lot, like, it took a long time to be able to, like, gather all of our things that we wanted to fix just based on that one sample and send it to them. And then it's annoying because, like, they already made this stencil, they already made this, you know, we have to adjust that. And then what if they forget to do this one adjustment that we made, which happened.
Yeah.
They produced hoodies that were not they made, what we wanted.
Yeah, we gave them, like, a new picture of the Hajar ladies, because the old one was...
We messed up
on the old one, and also, like, we wanted to make it, like, the Hajar ladies more clear.
Yeah, and, like, we didn't know that when it prints on the fabric, and also the color fabric, we picked a dark color, so it kind of washed out our image.
Yeah.
So we had to, like, send a higher resolution image, which Medica did.
Yeah, I had to, like, watch YouTube on how to, like, resolution or, like, what pixels would be best, and then, like, I tried to, like learn how to use Photoshop to, like, get a better resolution, because there wasn't a better resolution of it, like, out there, so I had to, like, edit it to make it more, like, higher quality. Yeah, that was, like, a whole process in itself, and now, like, obviously it's a better photo.
And then
photo.
They made a sweatshirt, and then they, like, used...
The old one.
So they wasted an entire sweatshirt on, like, that design, you know what I'm saying? So... It's just a lot. They did it twice, too.
they used the old photo on, twice, Mark. And we told them twice to fix it. This is the old photo. Please.
Yeah, but they, like, got other measurements, like, correct, but then that wrong. Okay. So.
Yeah.
It's just a long process. Basically, we got in touch with them September and decided on them in September. We talked and talked and talked and talked and finally got the sample in November. It's currently January, and... Finally, they finished production for everything. But there obviously are other hurdles.
Yeah, the hurdles that we've heard today, which is why we're so stressed out.
We're very stressed out. Anyway, in terms of, like, shipping and stuff, I don't want to bore you guys too much, but it's been a long process, and I really underestimated how long it would take. Like, we thought we would have our initial drop in, remember, in May we started, and we're like, okay, we're gonna drop this, like, in the fall time, and then for Yagda, which is December, like, 21st, 20th, but anyway, there's, like, a Persian holiday in December called Shabi Yagda, and it's like you eat pomegranate, you eat watermelon because it's red, you wear red.
And you, like, you read poetry, Hafez. Yeah, poetry.
Dance, sing, stay up all night because it's the longest night of the year. It's like the winter solstice. And yeah, we wanted to have a whole line dedicated to that holiday with, like, pomegranates here, pomegranates there. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
We had so many ideas. And we thought it would be out by, like, 2022. Yeah, I know, which never happened. Like,
yeah.
We had no idea. And now our next thing in our... journey is my, I think this is going to be my favorite part, because I've been waiting for this. I want to do a photo shoot, and we're collecting models right now.
Collecting?
I can't wait. Collecting. Yeah, literally, like, the Pokemon cards. Like, I'm so excited for that stuff. I'm so excited to make content with the hoodies, make TikToks.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I can't wait to make those.
Because that's, I love also video editing and production.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, like, I still, like, I can't do a YouTube channel in that
Girl,
style.
Girl, your video editing skills are fire.
Stop. Thank you. But I'd rather just do, like, fun little, like, mini projects. That's my niche, and this is such a good avenue, like, creative outlet for me. I don't know how it's been for you, but for me, it's, like, I love having a space where I can just be creative and have complete control.
I just love the money.
It's giving it really bad.
I know, just cameras aside.
No, just, like, the business aspect, like, I can't wait to, like, create the website. Like, that's,
oh,
I'm so excited.
I could never do that.
I'm so excited. Like, figuring out shipping... Give it to me.
No way.
That's crazy how, like, opposite you two are, but I guess that really relates to the next question. People always say, like, don't mix friends and business. So I guess the first part of this question is, were you guys worried about that? And I also think that you guys have very different skills and strengths, as you guys have already discussed. So, like, kind of, can you guys discuss how you guys decided to divvy up some of the tasks in the company and, like, which sides of the business you guys find more of a liking to?
Well, first of all, I had no worries working with Sophia.
Me neither.
Zero.
Like, it's kind of bad. Like, there was no hesitation.
Honestly,
because
yeah,
it is a risk.
No. Yeah, it definitely
is
a risk.
It didn't even come to my mind.
Yeah, it didn't come to my mind at all. Like, when I...
My risk was, like, losing money and the manufacturer and that stuff. But I never had any doubt in that.
Yeah, the manufacturer is what I was worried. I was like, I don't want to get scammed. That was the manufacturer.
But I know she would not, like...
Scam you.
She's Esfahani, I don't know. There's a stereotype.
Yeah.
So, I guess with mixing friends and business together is, like, it just depends on the person. Like,
I think the risk is also, like, making the business break the friendship. And you've invested so much both in your friendship and in the business, and one of them might go.
But yeah. The good thing is you guys built such a solid foundation before you guys went into the business.
Yeah, like, we've worked together in, like, ISU, like, so doing projects together. So, yeah. And, like, I've seen the social media work Sophia does. I was like, perfect. Yeah. I was like, the creativity and ideas you have with those, amazing. So
and I also think because you guys bring, like, different things to the table, it allows you guys to not clash as much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I definitely, like, this is not a business where I could do this on my own.
Yeah,
this
same.
Is, and same for her. Like, we need each other. We're codependent.
Yeah. Like, really codependent. Like, the social media stuff and the video making and everything, Sophia does so well and so beautifully that I know, like, I could try, but it wouldn't live up. No, it wouldn't be that great.
Same for her with, like, making
building
the website.
Coding?
Literally coding.
Like, architectural engineering.
I cannot. She's, like, an electrical engineer, so computer software. Like, she's everything. And she's MCD bio. Like, that's just a little cherry on top. But this woman should have been in business.
Dark Tank, I love.
Yeah, like, no, she can do all of that stuff. I could not. Like, I have a lot of talk, but no bark. Or bark, no talk. Like, Medica actually knows her numbers, she knows her math and her formulas.
I love
and
math.
She's the research god. This woman, like, any topic, she can do research on it and find out like, exactly what you need to know. And for me, I just don't have the patience for that. So she handles all of that. Like, I literally have so much. And she's the genius, too. Like, whenever we have a problem, like, even when I'm having a creative problem or something, I'll come to her and then she'll think of a solution. Like, on the spot. You know,
I feel like it's just, like, we build off each other, like, continuously throughout the, like, working together. So I think it's just, just has worked out so well.
And also, like, you know, a lot of people, when they start a business, and just like us, like, obviously, we don't know how to do the things that, mm-hmm. you know, the other can do. So then they go and find a business partner. Mm-hmm. We're like, okay, we, like, start this business together, but, like, just as partners in that sense, but we're not actually friends. But it's so much more fun doing this with your friend. You know what I'm saying?
Also, I feel like you're not as committed, you know?
Oh, I
because
never thought about that.
You guys were both committed to the mission and the intention from the beginning, from the jump. You guys were a part of the original vision.
Yeah.
And the same energy on both sides.
Yeah. Like, I don't have to, like, educate, like, Sophia on, like, a lot of stuff, like, Persian stuff.
Like we already kind of talked about, we had already worked on ISU projects together. And I have a lot of friends where, like, you know, they might have the strengths that I lack, but their work ethic isn't the same as mine, and their level of procrastination isn't at, like, my level. So we just would clash if we ever did something like this, where I would be like, okay, did you do this? Like, you know,
you don't want to be someone's
mom.
Did you
get this on time? Yeah. Or vice versa. Like, she's not nagging me. Like, we just both do our own work in a time where that's appropriate for our, like, timeline.
It's just, like, our timeline just, like, matches really well with each other.
And our communication.
Yeah.
That's communication is so important.
Yeah.
That's something I've
like, Sophia telling me, like, oh, I made like, when I made that design that was, like, whitewashed, like, Sophia telling me, yeah, that this looks so whitewashed, I was like,
and
like, that's good.
And for her not to get offended is
a big I was
thing.
Not offended at all. I was like, thank you.
Like, same for me, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you ever
because you
tell
have to
me,
be able to be honest with each other.
Yeah, you have to be able to take criticism. We're not, our communication style is the opposite of passive-aggressive. We're just aggressive.
Yeah, we're very direct.
Yeah, very direct, and I don't know, like, not, that doesn't work for everybody, but I don't need, like, gentle parenting.
Same.
That ship has sailed.
Yeah, and I feel like that way, and also in our culture, there's this thing called, like, Torof, and there's, like,
you guys should make a line called Torof.
Yeah.
I don't know, you should do something like
that.
Well,
we have some, like, from the promo videos.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that, but yeah, like, it's a whole thing where, like, oh, Rudarvasi, I don't know how to say it. Can you explain Rudarvasi in English?
Rudarvasi.
Like, name to not begin, Rudarvasi Daraba.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you, like, can't tell the truth to somebody because you don't want to be disrespectful.
Yeah, Rudarvasi Daram, it's like, honestly, it's like, okay, yeah, that's
hard. It's
hard,
there's no word for it. But, yeah, it's like, I don't want to offend the person, and I need to put on my best front, because we need to maintain, like, a relationship.
It's like you're going to, like, meet the president or something. I don't know.
But even with your closest friends, like, you know, or family members, like, some family members, like, you can't tell them.
Like, it's like when you, like, hold yourself back because you want to.
From saying, yeah.
Yeah, you hold, it's like, we're there to see that I'm like, oh, like, I hold myself back so I don't.
It's just a very passive, like, a thing in our culture where you can't just be rude, or not even rude, but like you can't even say what you want to say to maintain the respect of the other person, if that makes sense.
It's no, kind not of difficult, thing. But you to, can like, have that. Try right? to be respectful.
Yeah, yeah. But like this relationship, like rudavasi is also between people the same age as you, someone like even younger than you, maybe. Like it's just something that causes problems and drama from my experience. But we don't have that. Like that, in that sense, we are whitewashed because we are very American in the way we communicate.
Yeah.
Like it's very much like.
But I think that's a good thing. Yeah. You can be more direct with
it. It is.
Yeah. Instead of passive aggressive. Because I feel like a lot of times being passive aggressive causes problems and also like.
It makes you feel unfulfilled.
Yeah.
Honestly. It's a disservice to yourself, I feel like.
Yeah.
Seriously. And especially because we're investing all this time and money into something. And if it's not, that's another thing I learned. Like if it's not something we both like and agree on and can compromise on, then it's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
Because it's not just a one-man show.
Yeah.
No. You know? So, like, even though, yeah, I'm doing, like, more of the aesthetic work and she's doing more of the practical work, like, she still has to approve the aesthetic because it's still her brand and she has to like it. And then same with, like, charging people or the prices or, you know, dimensions and stuff like that. Like, I still have to be okay with that.
Yeah. Like, we still go back and forth with each other in, like, both aspects. Like, pricing wise and like just even like calculating, like I go, like I explain it to Sophia still,
yeah,
like about it, like to double check. We still double check with each other for like everything.
That's our cool. work is like very equally spread out, I would say. And obviously it's less work on me or less work on her, like not having to do the other side. Like if we were doing this alone, it would be way more work.
Yeah,
but we still like check in with each other and our communication is pretty good and like we respond pretty fast. That helps.
Given the Iranian revolution, what is something that listeners can do to support the movement?
Doing everything possible to learn as much as you can about it, like going on Instagram, talking to like other people, Iranians, or even if you have family members in Iran, like speaking to them, seeing their point of view, or like what's hear what's happening there from like directly they're living in Iran. Just like do as everything you can to learn about it, learn about the history about it, learn what's happening currently, just use your resources.
Different sources.
Yeah, sources, like correct sources. Because I know, like, on WhatsApp.
Misinformation.
Yeah, there's a lot of misinformation, like WhatsApp.
No, WhatsApp!
Always.
WhatsApp. Always WhatsApp.
And there's also misinformation from Western media, like the New York Times.
Yeah.
It's just one, but.
Yeah, New York Times, definitely. Didn't they?
Did like, they said, at the beginning of the revolution, they said it with Iranians resisting because of the economy and, like, prices are getting high. Which, obviously, like, the prices are very high and people are poor and can't afford to buy meat. They can't afford to buy groceries. That's also, like, a byproduct of the regime, but it's not what they were protesting. Like, what caused
it's
the
just
protest.
Dancing around what's actually going on.
Yeah. And even, didn't you post a video and you talked about it a little bit and you were getting some comments, like, just spewing misinformation?
Yeah, so I mean, I talked about it pretty early on. I think it was, like, one of the first few weeks. And I guess people's response were very interesting because they kind of spun it as me. Like, they pitted, I guess, the Iranian revolution with, like, the Muslim liberation struggle in the West. And I just don't like, you know, getting thrown into that binary because those two movements are not, like, working against each other. They're two separate movements that are both fighting for their own liberation. So I guess seeing those types of comments are really sad because they obviously come from a place of ignorance and a lack of education. And so I think, yeah, as you said, like, I think the most important aspect of like learning is definitely like reaching out to people who are actually involved or are from the country that know what's going on.
We need to be the people in Iran's voice, like using our privilege here. We're not censored in a way, like we are censored because if you have family there, you want to go back there, like you are censored, you know. So it's a big risk of us talking about it. And that was one of the things we were like, okay, we had already started our Instagram, and if we really want our Instagram to reflect like the things going on in Iran, Iranian youth culture, our experience in the diaspora, like we can't just not bring up and use our platform to talk about what's going on. So we've tried to do that like in the best way we can, but it, you know, you feel like kind of useless. Like there isn't really a lot we can do being so far away.
And like feel kind of guilty for being like here.
Yeah. Cuz
like they're going through it all on their own kind of.
Yeah.
In Iran, and there's like besides
it's so hard to help
bring them. Awareness for it and like being supporting all of them from far away, like there's not much other stuff we could do, so like there's kind of like a guilt to it also.
Yeah, and we have a big responsibility to not spread misinformation, to not take away from their narrative. We just need to amplify what they're saying.
Yeah,
I think that's the only thing we can really do, like living here. Otherwise, I don't know, I can't think of anything else. Yeah, we've tried our best on the Instagram, and then also shutting down misinformation, like you were saying, people associating it with Islamophobia and just like, I don't know, just being ignorant with it. And I think there's also ignorance on the Iranian perspective, where I'm not going to speak for everybody, but just from what I've seen from some people, because they're so traumatized by the regime and them pushing their version of Islam on the people, especially the women, but like on everybody, even the animals. they're
not the animals,
it's all their political agenda, right? And then there's a misunderstanding that that is Islam, you know, so you have to be educated on that too. It's just a lot of education that like that's all we can do. We can't go over there and attend protests, but you can attend protests here.
That is true.
Yeah, you also should contact like your local politicians, support Iranian creatives.
Yes.
And small businesses.
Yes.
Like us. But okay, one thing I do want to say is when you're buying and they're saying like, you know, oh, like for example, you're on Redbubble and there are so many like t-shirts saying Woman, Life, Freedom, there are stickers and everything. You need to be really careful to make sure where you're sending your money to, because there are businesses that will send your money to Iran in one way or another. You have to be careful that they're not pocketing it, because if they're wire transferring it, it's hard because of the sanctions. You need to go to someone who will physically take it there, or it's going towards an organization that's spreading news, like Middle East Matters. It's not based in Iran, it's based here, but you can still send money to them, donate money to them, for example, and it will help Iran. Stuff like that, like, I don't know, one case was this Redbubble seller literally her name was Emily. She was she was creating t-shirts and stickers that were pro like women, life, freedom and the movement and everything. And then she was also creating pro regime t-shirts, but you wouldn't be able to see that unless you go on her shop. Why would you want to spend money and buying her like pro revolution t-shirts when she's also selling pro regime pro oppression t-shirts? Like,
yeah. Emily needs to be muzzled.
Stay in her lane. The other thing is, don't talk about it if you don't know it. Like, you don't always have to speak. You don't always have to have an opinion. Like, just be quiet, go do some research, and then come back.
Yeah.
So, that's what I've just seen on TikTok. Like, a lot of people who don't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to speak.
You could also, like, check in on your Iranian friends, or, like, just if you have, like, Iranian people. Like family or friends in Iran, like if you came here, just check in on them, see how they're doing, just be supportive, you know, give them as much love as possible.
Yeah,
you know,
it's been like such a prolonged like sadness but also happiness in our community,
because over 100 days at this point.
And we've never seen like unity like this on an international scale with Iranians all over the world uniting together for this, you know, so it's remarkable and beautiful, and it's something we've all prayed for like our whole lives. I never thought I would see this in my lifetime.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. But at the same time, like every morning we receive bad news from our family, or like from Instagram you find out someone has been executed, you find out like get videos of family members finding out that their loved one has been executed, or people are going missing every day, thousands. And the numbers that you see online are not even the accurate numbers. It's definitely way more than that. And I don't know, it's just been hard to see, like, my family living here. Because I've been in Berkeley, right, this entire time. I've been, like, kind of away from everybody, and I've just been, like, processing it on my own. Or we've had, like, things for the Iranian Student Union there. But it's just, I haven't, like, been able to see my family during this time, and now that I'm here and seeing their pain and, like, walking in on my family members, like, crying alone in their room and, like, that stuff, it's, I don't know, it's been difficult, and it's been such a long time that we've been going through this. Check in on each other.
Yeah.
And your family members.
Give them love.
Give them love, because so far, like, there's a lot of hope, and we need to keep that hope going, but at the same time, it's hard to get over, like,
yeah,
heartbreaking.
And just, if you have, if you know people in Iran and are contacting them, just like let them know that like this, they have the support here, like they're not on their own.
Mm-hmm. My cousins say like when we see you guys going to protest, like I post on my stories and stuff, like you have no idea what that does to our ruhiyeh, like I don't know what it is.
Like our soul, like
yeah,
our spirit
yeah, yeah.
So like going to protest here outside of Iran and them seeing that and like seeing how much support they're receiving outside
and how much faith we have in them,
yeah, just like pushes them
to keep going, because if we're silent and we're not, it just means we don't think nothing is gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just important to have an optimistic outlook on this
and believe in them.
Yeah. And there's I don't know if you've had these conversations, but like a lot of my, not a lot, but like I have some family members who are really pessimistic about this, saying like, oh my god, you don't know this regime, like they're here to stay at least in our lifetime. But I don't know, like I can't just sit at home, I have to go to the protest.
Yeah,
like, we have to use any channel, any, even though we don't have that many followers on Pashmom, like
it's making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, I just hope like people in Iran see it, and also like I don't know, I think a lot of people in the West know at least where Iran is on the map now.
Yeah.
They're like semi-educated now on like what life is like there for people, which is
especially
crazy.
People of our generation, because mm-hmm. and that's the power of social media.
Yeah. And we, if it wasn't for everyone posting on social media, these news outlets, CNN, ABC, like they would not be talking about Iran. All these singers you see on their concert, Billie Eilish, Harry Styles, Kehlani, like they all brought, I think even Dua Lipa, I don't know, but like they all brought up Iran at their concerts.
Mm-hmm.
The brave people at the World Cup who were getting kicked out of the stadium for wearing Women Like Freedom. Like all these people, like nothing would have happened if it wasn't for the social media traction.
Mm-hmm.
And people taking risks.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, of course.
To end it on more of a lighter note, what is both of your favorite aspects of Iranian culture?
Hospitality. That was like,
yeah,
that's the first thing that pops into my mind. Like, we have such great hospitality. Like, I've seen like YouTube videos of like people, like non-Iranian people that go and visit Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And like, even they, like the one thing they say is the hospitality. Like, you mm-hmm. tell them, like, if you go to Iran, like, honestly, I remember my family uses that to their advantage when, like, I go to Iran. Like, I remember I wanted to go jet ski. This is, like, years ago. I wanted to go jet ski. And
Shoma?
Yeah. Yeah, in Shoma.
I went jet skiing in Shoma.
Yeah, and they were closing down. And they're like, oh, she's from America. Like, she came all the way. Like, please let her jet ski. We want to show her how great Iran is and everything. Mm-hmm. This is, like, years ago, but... Yeah, and they literally put the jet skis back on, like, the water. They put the jet skis back on the water so, like, I could jet ski. Like, their hospitality and...
Unmatched.
Yeah, unmatched. Like, if you go to a Persian home, like, you get, like, offered so much fruit and food. And, like...
If you want to know what it feels like to be a king or a queen, the medieval ages, like, go to an Iranian person's house. And
yeah.
They will treat you like... Royalty.
Yeah, and a lot of times they want you to come. Like they love having people over, guests mm-hmm. over. They like the hospitality is really, really good.
We're nursing.
Like if you come, like if you sleep over, a lot of times they'll be like, take the bed, we'll sleep on the floor. Like,
yeah. Oh my god, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they'll give you the master bedroom.
Yeah, literally.
Literally, they take what's mine is yours to another level.
Yeah.
And they start giving you things.
Yeah, it's just
like
the love.
Say, like, oh, I like your earrings. Oh,
they'll
here, take
it.
Take
off.
It. Take
yeah.
it. Keep it. They're
yeah.
yours. Like,
yeah.
I love that.
They love a candle. Oh, I love this candle. You love it? Take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just when you enter a Persian home, I feel like there's just so much love. And,
yeah.
like, you receive, you just, in general, once you enter a Persian home, like, you receive so much love. And
even
I think
when they're not feeling right themselves or like financially they can't even afford to buy all this fruit, if they know you're coming over and there will be guests, they will do anything to make you feel as comfortable as possible with what they have, and they'll go buy fruit or
yeah,
you know, it's just that's like our culture.
Yeah, that's so. That's the number one thing I love.
That's
it's
really
just
good.
We give so much love.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for me is how we are when we're in community, like when we're together, it's so much fun. You know what I'm saying? Like, Iranians know how to have fun. And even though, like, Iranians have gone through so much trauma in their lives and have been through so much turmoil and heartbreak and political instability, no matter what, like, we have this desire to have fun and, like, to just be joyous. As a people, we're very joyous and happy people, despite everything. And I think that's so powerful. And, like, when you're in community together, even though, like, for example, Merica and I, we were born in the U.S., the only exposure we've had to, like, Iran is going visiting on vacation, not living there, right? But still, we have this innate desire whenever we're together or in ISU meetings and anything, like, we have fun together, either playing music, singing, dancing, storytelling. Like, we're just very animated and, like, I don't know. Iranians are just cute.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we all have our own distinct little personality, and it's, like, very rare to find a vanilla Iranian. Like, just as a culture, like, we're just fun.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it.
I love both of those aspects.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is a great spot to end the podcast on. Thank you guys so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us and giving us this space to talk, because we talk a lot. That must have been very, taking a lot of patience from you, Isatana.
No, this was a great conversation. Before we go, where can they find you on social media?
Passion Mom Design, at Passion Mom Designs.
P-A-S-H-M-A-M Designs. TikTok and Instagram.
And website.
Coming soon.
Maybe, but it might be out by the time this
episode is definitely. www.passionmomdesigns.com.
Period.
Check out the description box.
And then our personal ones?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Those will I get go that too?
Of course.
Every time I'm on your podcast, I get like a handful of new followers. So. mine is S as in Sam, P-H, 4, the number 4, I-A. And that's on TikTok and on Instagram.
She's just gotta have the 4 in it.
I'm checking mine because
you don't have it off the top.
She's not a social media girl.
Yeah, I'm not really social media. Okay. It's my first name. So Malika, M-E-L-I-C-A, A_.
2 A's.
Oh, 2 A's.
Yeah, so 2 A's. Because someone took the 1 A. So then
that always sucks.
So I just added an A.
One day you'll be rich enough to buy it off of
me. Yeah. With the Pash Mom money?
Yeah!
Yes. Please follow us on Pash Mom if you like what we're talking about. And also follow Disclaimers Aside.
Yes.
It's literally the best podcast. Disclaimers Aside was my number one podcast of the year. My number two.
Actually?
My number two was Sahad Golshani's.
Okay. Whoa. I was afraid you were going to say, like, Emma Chamberlain's podcast or, like, another white podcaster, and I was going to be like...
No, it's literally... I'll send you a screenshot. You can repost that. Disclaimers Aside number one.
I'm pretty sure mine was, like, the Huberman Lab.
She's a STEM girly.
Embarrassing. But also, I feel like Isata's mission and Disclaimers Aside is kind of, like, what our mission is, but in a different font. Like, you're very much into, like, uplifting voices, creating community... in a conversation, and like, thank you so much for having us here because there's no other platform where we could talk about Pash Mom this much.
That's why I started a podcast, because I was like, I want to feature people's stories, but it's hard to do that on YouTube. But yeah, thank you guys so much for being on this podcast.
Thank you. Her hospitality is good too.
Yeah, thank you.
So I hope you guys enjoyed this week's podcast episode. Make sure to check out the show notes for any of the links that I mentioned. With that, I will chat with you guys in my next podcast episode. Bye.